are what we are by the grace
Amen,
of God.
Brother. Praise God. That you're right.
It's good to be here. We always really enjoy having King's Vision. We were members here for 18 years, and it's a blessed time.
Amen.
We're thankful for King's Vision.
Yes. Amen.
We're thankful for her stand. Even Steve Compton. I'm even thankful for Steve Compton.
Especially.
We are glad to be here. Turn your Bibles, if you would, this morning to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And I want to read verses 15 through 21. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. At that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. I want to speak to you this morning about the believer's union with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to know right now that this is a great mystery. It's like the mystery of the incarnation. It's a mystery that no mortal mind can completely comprehend. But we believe it. We rejoice in it. We hang our souls upon it. We are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. Spiritually, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. But no man can fully understand that, let alone try to explain the great mystery of the union of God's elect with Christ. It's beyond our comprehension. But look at verse 20 particularly of our text. And it says there, at that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. The Holy Spirit, at that day, when God the Holy Spirit comes to you, and he creates faith in you, and he comes into you as the Spirit of life to abide in you forever and comfort you, at that day ye shall know these things. What things? There's three great unions that happens when we're saved, when the Holy Spirit quickens us and makes us alive. I'm going to look at three unions that play into this salvation. Jesus said, I am in my Father.
Amen.
All who are taught by the Holy Spirit understands by divine revelation that there is a union between the man Christ Jesus and God the Father. There's a union between our humanity Son of God, our Savior. And our Savior and the eternal God are one.
Amen.
And that should comfort our souls.
Yes.
It's the foundation of all comfort.
Amen.
To our souls. And Jesus said, secondly, ye are in me. Every sinner who is taught of God, who are given life and faith in Jesus Christ, are made to understand that Jesus Christ is our representative and our substitute. We rejoice to know that God the Father made His Son a representative and surety and substitute of our souls. And that just didn't happen 2,000 years ago. It happened in eternity. That means that He stood in our place, and He stood as our surety from all eternity.
Absolutely.
And then thirdly, that's revealed to us in salvation. And I am in you. You shall know in the very day that you are quickened and made alive, that the Lord Jesus Christ is in you.
Amen.
Puritan Thomas Goodwin said this: union of Jesus Christ and His saints is a great and eminent mystery of the gospel and the greatest hope of glory.
Amen.
Christ in you. As God is in Christ, and Christ is in Him, we who are born of God are in Christ, and Christ is in us.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And that's one thing that I want us to notice in the message this morning. If you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you are born of God, you and Christ are one. That's, when I studied, it just blew my mind. You and Christ are one. I've known it, I've taught it, but it was really driven home for the study of this message. You and Christ are one. Not two. In the New Testament, the nature of the union between Christ and His elect is set before us everywhere. It is so constantly and clearly set forth that it cannot be missed except by those who choose not to see it. Every act of Christ on earth is set forth in the Scriptures as being in some way connected with His union with us and our union with Him.
Amen.
Look at the Scriptures. Was He circumcised? We are circumcised in Him. Look at Colossians chapter 2 in verse 11. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Was He crucified?
Amen.
We were crucified with Him. Look in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Did He die? We died with Him. Look in Romans chapter 6. saved. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Was He buried? We were buried with Him. Look at verse 4 of Romans chapter 6. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Was He raised from the dead?
Amen.
Then we are risen with Him. Look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 12. Buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. Did He ascend on high and now is in glory? Look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Does He live?
Amen.
He lives in me. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
Look at Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. It says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the flesh which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me. When we read in the Bible this union of Christ and His members is traced out in everything that the Lord did, in every act of obedience, and in everything He suffered while He walked here on this earth, and in everything He has received in His glory because of His obedience to the Father as our surety, as our substitute, as our representative. The Scriptures show us clearly that there is an eternal union between Christ and His beloved people.
Amen.
It's amazing. It's an eternal union. This union that exists between you and your Savior is an eternal union. It is a union of pure free grace established in the beginning before God ever made the heavens and the earth. It says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved. So it's an eternal union. And it's a vital union. The old writers used to refer to this union as a vital union. It's a union that is both vital to Christ and to us. It is vital to us because we cannot exist apart from Him. Any more than the branches severed from the vine can exist apart from the vine. And you can read John 15, verses 1 through 6, where Christ talks about you must abide in Him. This union is vital to Christ as well. That's what and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. John Trapp said, Christ, who having voluntarily subjected himself to be our head, accounts not himself complete without his members. In which respect, we have the honor of making Christ perfect as the members do the body. That's a vital union. God's elect are the fullness of him in whom it is all fullness. God could not be complete without Christ, and he cannot be complete without us. That's a very sobering thought. Thirdly, this union of Christ in our souls is a union of life. Life in Christ, life with Christ, life by Christ. He paid the price for us, and in him we have eternal life and a much more abundant life. As bones of his bones and flesh of his flesh, the purchase of his blood, the property of his love, and we're the object of his devotion and care. We belong to the Son of God. Isn't that amazing? We belong to Jesus.
That is amazing.
We are his peculiar possession. I belong to Christ. And if you believe in him, you belong to Christ. He bought me with his blood. I am a member of his body, of his flesh, of his blood. And this union has been made known. It's been manifested. It's a union that God the Holy Spirit is given to the redeemed sinner in the saving operations of his omnipotent grace. This union of life with Christ is a union that is made known in the new birth.
Amen.
Now, when a baby's born, that's not the beginning of life. That baby was alive before the baby was ever born. The birth is a manifestation of that life. And then the birth of a soul in regeneration is not the beginning of life, but life and immortality brought to light by the gospel. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to life through the gospel. That's what Jesus is saying in John 14:20. When a sinner has a new nature, in the very day that he is born of God, he knows it. You knew something was different when the Lord saved your soul. You may not have known what to call it. You may not have known how to describe it, but you knew from the beginning of your new life in Christ that this was new. That Christ had come to you. I'm sitting right back here. Thank you for Brother Rick sitting down. been here several times, heard the gospel preached several times. Brother Buell C. preached the message. I didn't know anything, folks. But when that message finished, I knew one thing. Jesus Christ did all that for me.
Amen.
Knew that He did that for me. It made itself manifested. I've been God's elect from the beginning. But it was made manifest.
Amen.
When Jesus Christ saved my soul and came into my life. That brings us to something that we don't like to talk about. When this new creation is formed in us, that begins a warfare inside of us, which all of God's people struggle with in this world.
Yes.
We have trouble.
Yeah.
I can't help but think how sinful we are by nature. We struggle with our old nature so much.
Yes.
Doubts and fears. We experience these things. But we have two natures. We have that old Adamic nature that constantly is at war with our new spiritual. The old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That's what Ephesians 4:22 says. Flesh and spirit. These two natures are constantly at war. The flesh lusting against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. I'll tell you something, folks. The new birth is not a reformation, but a regeneration.
Amen.
The new birth is not reforming the old nature of fallen man, but a recreation of life by the Spirit of God. The new birth is not transforming that which is sinful into that which is righteous. But the imparting of a new righteous nature.
Yes.
In the new birth that Christ is formed in us and we are made new.
Amen.
In Him. Look in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Then look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So we have two natures. A righteous nature and the old sinful nature. We constantly fight with sin against holiness. If you think that's an exaggeration, read what Paul says in Romans 7. Verses 14 through 24. Adam lives in us by birth. By natural generation, we are made partakers of Adam's nature. But praise God, Christ lives in us by the new birth. We are made partakers of the divine nature. In the original creation, we were made partakers of Adam's nature, humanity. But in the new creation of grace, we are made partakers of the last Adam, that's Christ.
Amen.
The divine nature. And that's the cause of the warfare that we are constantly fighting. Savior's name. He's given it to us in free justification. And we have His nature. He gives that to us when we're saved. Born of the Spirit. Obedience of Christ unto death met all the claims of the law and satisfied divine justice for all of His chosen seed. That obedience, though, does not impart to redeemed a qualification for the enjoyment of heaven. We must be born. John 3:5-6. We must be born again. We are presented with two distinct births by two distinct elements necessarily producing two distinct natures. The flesh produces beings incapable of entering into the kingdom of God. The flesh cannot enter in or understand or enjoy that which is spiritual, let alone go to heaven and enjoy heaven. But the Spirit produces beings capable of entering into the kingdom of God, capable of entering, of understanding, and enjoying that which is spiritual, making all who are born of the Spirit meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. That's what Colossians 1:12.
Thank you, Lord.
By the new birth, being given faith in Christ, God's elect are brought into an open and manifest union with Christ. The believer's vital union with Christ the Mediator is everlasting union of grace. Spurgeon said, "The nearest, dearest, closest, most intense, and most enduring relationship that can be imagined is our union with Christ. We live because Christ lives. And our lives are hid with Christ in God. This relationship is closer than that of a husband and wife or children and their parents. This union of Christ and His people is one of the greatest mysteries revealed in the book of God. It's a mystical union of grace. We are members. We are identified with Him. He is identified with us. He has made us essential to Himself. And just as He made Himself essential to us, He is the head of the body, and we are members of that body. We are members of Jesus Christ.
Right.
This union of Christ and our souls is real.
Amen.
It's a mystical, spiritual union. A union that we can't even begin to describe, much less completely understand. But it's real.
Yes.
The Scriptures reveal the union of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we're thankful. The Scriptures also reveal the union of divinity and humanity in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You explain that.
Yeah.
It says the Word was made flesh.
Yeah.
And then the book of God, the Word of God, reveals this vital union of God's elect with Christ. I tell you, folks, nothing can be more astonishing, but there's nothing more real than our union with Christ. Try to grasp the reality of this union. him in baptism unto death, wherein you also have risen with him. You were crucified with him upon the tree. You're sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. God has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. You are one with the Lord Jesus Christ. Being one with him, the Lord Jesus himself assures us that God the Father loves us as he loves him. He loves me to the same degree, with the same love, for the same reason he loves his son as my mediator. And that is a love that's an everlasting love. Since we are members of his body, one day he'll present us to himself without spot or wrinkle. Jude, verse 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. You catch that? To present you faultless before the presence of his glory, he's going to do that with exceeding joy.
Amen.
Here they are. I present you. Sinner like me, Jesus is going to present to the Father with joy.
Amen.
We will be perfect even as he is perfect.
Amen.
We will enter into the eternal joy of the Lord. We are joint heirs with Christ. Therefore, whatever he has, we shall have that. There's one more thing I want you to see. This is a union that is ours by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and go home rejoicing that I am my beloved. My beloved is mine.
Amen.
As Christ is in the Father, I in him, and he in me, and nothing can separate me from him.
Amen.
That's the union that we have.